The devil doesn't care if you have a bad hair day, week, month, or year. He doesn't care if you're on the ropes. He doesn't care if you're laying down in a fetal position. He continues to come after us, and that's why we have to build the foundation in the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible also tells us, if you're taking note, in Matthew 26:41, he says, "Watch and pray, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And then he says this, "The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of In Christ Radio. We continue on our Hope Restored series, and last time, Nehemiah refused to be distracted, intimidated, or deceived. So today, in Nehemiah chapter 6, 15 through 19, and chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, the wall is finally finished, but the need for vigilance remains. Our message is titled, Watch and Pray. The enemy could not prevent the wall from being completed, but he continued working through relationships, influence, and compromise inside Jerusalem. Nehemiah therefore appointed trustworthy leaders, established guards, and gave careful instructions concerning the city gates. He understood that yesterday's victory does not remove tomorrow's danger. The wall was completed, but watchfulness was still necessary because the enemy had not simply disappeared. Victory changes the battlefield, but it does not eliminate the need for prayer and discernment. So today, let's ask, are you guarding the spiritual ground God has helped you regain? Or are old influences beginning to slip back through the unprotected gate? So if you can, grab your Bibles and turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 6. In today's lesson, watch and pray. Here's Pastor Ben.
Oftentimes I want to draw my encouragement from other people. Oftentimes, I'm going to text a buddy, friend of mine. I'm going through a rough time. Oh, hang in there, buddy. And there's nothing wrong with withdrawing encouragement from other people. But the one lesson we need to learn is Nehemiah went and got encouragement from God, And you go, whoa, hold up, Ben. No. Guys, it's taking this and here trying to get your encouragement from God. The fourth thing we see in the heart of Nehemiah, we see that in chapter 5, is that he feared God. Think about that. He feared God. When there was dissension within the camp, when the poor people called to Nehemiah's attention their mistreatment at the hands of some of the well-heeled people, Nehemiah appealed to the fear of God that should have prevented the rich from abusing their brethren. He indicated that this motivation in acting with integrity was his reverence for God. Not that we're throwing stones, but I think there are times when I fear man more than I fear God. Nehemiah says, no. No, in order for us to really fear God the way Nehemiah was, is that we have to know God. We have to walk with God. We see that Nehemiah, we also see that he answered his critics. You go, how? By calling on God. We see that in chapter 6, verse 9. Nehemiah called on God to vindicate himself when the enemies stepped up their attacks. When he asked God to strengthen his hands and his resolve to carry out the task that God had called them to. And I got to be honest with you, in studying this scripture and really pouring my heart into it, it reminds me of the work that God has called us here in Lubbock, Texas. It's the same work. It's that same strengthen my hands, Lord. This is your work. There are times when the Lord says, Ben, it's not your work. It's my work. And I say, amen, God, and things go really good. And then I have a tendency to pick it up and put it in my pocket and say, okay, God, it's my work. and then it's stressful. The Lord's like, it's not your work. And Nehemiah knew this and just learning from this. How did he answer his critics? How do you answer your critics? By calling on God. Calling on God. Lord, you see them. You see them. So now we come to this last portion here in Nehemiah chapter 6. And there's a couple of themes that we should focus on. You go, what are they? Number one, I want us to notice that even in the face of the completion of the project, the opposition continues. You go, what does that mean? Guys, even though the walls were up and the doors were hung and we high-fived each other because we finished the work, God finished the work, 52 days, Elizabeth, 52 days, that's amazing. What we need to remember, and you need to write this down, the opposition continues. It was the counsel of this saintly Scottish minister named Andrew Bonar who said, quote, "Let us be watchful after the victory as before the battle," end quote. Let us be watchful after, yes, as we were right before the battle. Warren Wiersbe writes, quote, "Satan is not a quitter, but stays on the field even after it looks like he has lost the battle." He goes on to say, "Many a careless Christian has won the war, but afterward lost the victory." The Word of God tells us in Luke chapter 4, verse 13, reading from the New Living Translation, "When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came." In your New King James Bible, it says, "in an opportune time." Think about this in our lives. You win this battle and the devil says, okay, I'm going to come back and I'm going to try to go in a different way. He's looking for an opportune time. What would be an opportune time in our lives? I'll tell you, listen, you got to look at me when I say this. An opportune time is when we put our spiritual walk on cruise control. When we go, okay, I'm not reading the word anymore. I'm not having my quiet time. You know, I'm not attending prayer meetings. I'm not getting in the word. I'm not having the worship music blast through my ears and really worshiping God. And then all of a sudden you feel like you're just, hey, I'm good. Things are really, that's an opportune time. As believers, I'm not telling you that you and I have to walk around Lubbock, Texas like this. You know, well, I'm a believer. I'm ready for an attack at all moments. We know God is greater that's in us, but we need to realize when the devil finished tempting Jesus, he didn't be like, well, he's the Son of God. He left them until he had the next opportunity came. You go, Ben, what are you saying? The devil never doesn't care if you have a bad hair day, week, month, or year. He doesn't care if you're on the ropes. He doesn't care if you're laying down in a fetal position. He continues to come after us, and that's why we have to build the foundation. The foundation in the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible also tells us, if you're taking note, in Matthew 26, 41, he says, "Watch and pray, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And then he says this, "The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." It's weak. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. You go, Ben, what are you trying to say? Again, guys, putting on your thinking caps, even though Nehemiah's going, yeah, right on, good job, guys, he's encouraging, the opposition is not going to stop. It's going to continue to grow. And so we need to watch and pray. Watch and pray. The second thing we learned also is that Tobiah here, this Tobiah has inside connections. And he uses them masterfully in continuing the effort to undermine the leadership and the credibility of Nehemiah. Your attention, please. I want you to remember that not all attacks come from the outside. That sometimes the enemy comes in, wiggles his way in the church to try to cause exactly this. You go, what? To try to undermine the leadership and destroy the credibility of the pastor. I'll never forget many years ago, many, many years ago, we were small. And somebody came to our church and actually wanted to split up and kill this church. Kind of came in, strong personality. You got to watch for that because this is what Tobiah's doing. But here's the difference. Listen, Tobiah has some inside connections here. We're going to see that. You go, what? Well, both his wife, Tobiah's wife, his daughter-in-law, Tobiah had links with influential families in Jerusalem. He wanted to use his influence to undermine the work that God did through Nehemiah. So again, think about this. We're going to see some interesting stuff here. So with that as our introduction, let's jump into our text. Nehemiah 6:15, he writes, "So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul and 52 days." Guys, listen, to finish in 52 days was a tremendous accomplishment and one that was recognized not due to Nehemiah, but to the power of God. 52 days to rebuild that. Now, again, this is a Bible study, so let's really just kind of dig deep. Let's go a little bit more. You see, the amount of time it took to finish the job was, again, remarkably short. The walls were in ruins, listen, for more than 100 years. Nehemiah shows up and we're set right in the period of only 52 days. And you go, okay, what do I need to think about? Okay, well, let's chat, let's talk, let's visit. Why wasn't the job done more than 100 years before? It was in ruins for 100 years. It wasn't that no one saw the problem. It wasn't that people weren't walking by going, man, I wish these walls would be fixed. And it wasn't that the walls were, he didn't want the walls fixed. Many people throughout that 100 years saw the broken walls, knew how they ruined the lives of people in Jerusalem, but no one got past the place, ready, of just wishing there were walls. Can you imagine? Let's paint the picture. Let's see the scenario. Here we are, and there it is. There's the walls. And we're walking by, Elizabeth, man, I wish we had walls. I know how that messed up your family. Yvonne, you see the walls, don't you? Yeah, I see the walls. Mary, what do you think? Yeah, I wish we had the gates. I can't. Listen, we have this church and we worship the God and the foundation's built, but I'm always worried and it's ruined my life. For generation, guys, this is what's happening. Finally, there came a man who did more than just wish Jerusalem had walls. Nehemiah grieved, he ached, he prayed, he planned, he asked boldly, he went, he fought, he encouraged, he stood strong, he saw the job through to completion, but he also had people around him with that same kind of heart. That same kind of heart. This is so, so amazing. Why? Because when God starts a work, and God is in this work, God will see it to completion. God has started a beautiful work in you. God has started a beautiful work in you. And if you recall, our job is to see people as beautiful furniture, beautiful armoires, beautiful pieces of furniture, beautiful tables with chairs. We have to be careful that we don't see them as just trees or firewood. Lord, help us to see people how you want us to see them. Forgive us when we don't. My prayer, our prayer has always been that God would first and foremost build a foundation in our lives. You go, why, Pastor? Guys, listen, the world is getting awful and ugly, and it's doing this by the micro minute. Okay? We thought we all praised the Lord when technology came and we had internet. I mean, it was a vast improvement when microwaves came out. Do you remember that? I was like, wow, you can make popcorn and whatever. I mean, this was just, it was crazy. Microwaves. She remembers. And then you and I, you remember this. You'll remember this. You older folks, we don't have any young ones in here, but you remember that on TV, it would always say www, and then they'd have a thing, and we'd ask, what is that about? What is www? Like, we didn't know. And eventually here came the internet and here came all of this. But look what's happening now. The enemy is doing its very best. But think about this. It's moving in a micro minute. And if you don't have your foundation solid on God, you can be deceived very quickly. You can be deceived very quickly. We have to be so careful. We have to be so careful. Jesus warned us, do not be deceived. Paul warned us, don't be deceived. Satan is the father of lies, and he wants to deceive us. He wants to get us away. He wants us to compromise our walk. He wants us to question our walks. He wants us to question, are we really saved? Am I really a prayer warrior? Am I really? So we have to follow Nehemiah. We have to have the foundation. first and foremost. My heart is that we would be able to build our lives on what He wants, on His word. And my prayer is that He would do a miracle to restore relationships, to bring our prodigals back, to heal in men friendships that have been broken. My heart is to see marriages restored that have been battered by the enemy. If you're taking notes, there are going to be two central points here in our study. Number one, building lives. And what I mean by this is make sure that we have a real and true relationship with Jesus. A true and real relationship. You go, Pastor, I'm not sure what you mean. Well, I was reading a book earlier this week that talked about a cheap imitations. You guys remember that? We've all seen the imitation knockoff products, right? The false Nike shoes, if you will, the imitation Air Jordans, the fake Gucci handbags, and even the imitation Rolex watches. They look good, don't they? They look like they're real. You can't tell them apart. I remember when I was starting off in the rental business, to have a Rolex, it looked really nice. And I think it cost you $69.99. It looked like a Rolex, but it wasn't a Rolex. Looked like one. And you go, Pastor, what's the point? You can tell the fakes over time, can't you? Maybe not so much at first, but in time, the imitation breaks down. It falls apart. It gets thrown away. And you go, well, what's the point, Ben? What's the takeaway? You ready? And so it is with our walks with God. At first glance, everything's fine. Praise the Lord. I lift my hands. I sing glory, hallelujah, to the King of Kings. But if it's not a real walk based on the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, what'll happen is over time, it's gonna break down. It's gonna fall apart. And it's going to get thrown away. Guys, my prayer is that when it comes to Jesus, we would all have the real thing. If you're taking note, jot this down. 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, Paul writes, examine yourselves as whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Pastor Sof puts it this way, do a spiritual inventory, check your heart, make sure we're right. Do that test. Lord, where am I? Am I walking tight with you? Well, Pastor, are you saying that I'm not saved? No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is the enemy wants to deceive us, to trip us up in our walks. The enemy wants to, but it's often important that we do have the real thing. A real Rolex, Brother Joe, costs more than a fake Rolex. You go, amen. It costs us more, our lives, but in the end, it's well worth it. It's well worth it. The second thing we see in our series is restoring relationship. Remember, we did a teaching called, Does Anybody Really Care? And if you'll take a hard look at our world, this is where we need to be. Does anybody really care? There are people, even us, come on, church, that are walking this earth with broken hearts, relationships that have been broken. Many of our relationship has become indifferent. Our prayer should be, guys, that the gates and those walls will serve as application points and miracles for God to restore those which are broken and which are stolen. I think this last month for me has been a pretty tough month. And I was sitting in my office with Joseph yesterday, and I told Joseph this: when you really think about it, in 50 years, it's not going to matter. This month, this week, it's not going to matter. You go, why? In 50 years, if the Lord tarries, I won't be here. And then Joseph started to count. He goes, okay, I might not be here either. He's a little bit younger than me, you know, just a few years. But the premise is true, isn't it? 100 years from now, who's going to know our name if the Lord tarries? So it's important, guys, that we restore the gates and the walls, and we take back those things that the enemy stolen. The walls, the gates, only took 52 days. And my thought has to be, in my life, in your life, in the walls and everything that we're reading here by way of application, this has to be a work of God. as you and I submit to God in the authority of God. It's a miracle. And yet, here's what I've learned. God invites us to do the work. He invites us into the work. You go, what does that look like? Well, we need to do our part. Can I get an amen? Amen. We need to step out in faith. You go, what do you mean? I've seen too many people go, God, give me a job. Well, have you went out and looked? No, I just know he's going to give me. And then you're unemployed for like 6 years because you won't look in the newspaper, because nobody does that anymore. It's all on the internet. There was a time that we had to look through the newspaper for a job. There used to be, serious. We could not go to Indeed or anything. It was like circling them. Okay, I'm going to go there tomorrow. And they called it pounding the pavement. You remember that? Pounding the pavement. I'd like an application, please. And we did all that, but that's not the point. The point is, we got to do the work. We got to do the work. What's your part in the work? Your salvation done. Amen. But our part in the work, guys, is we stepping out in faith and we purpose to walk closer to Jesus. And we got rebuked today in a loving, most awesome way. We got a rebuke to pray with our wives, to love each other. This is the things we've got to do. Well, it goes on in Nehemiah chapter 6. That was 15. 16 says, and it happened, notice, and it happened when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, what things, that the walls were built, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this is work done by our God. This is a great verse for you to underline, highlight, whatever it means. You go, why? Well, first and foremost, let's break it down. All of a sudden, Nehemiah goes, listen, then it happened, right? And isn't that how it is? Then it happened. And you go, what happened? He said, when the nation saw these things, instead of going, all right, guys, amen, or whatever it might be, they became very disheartened. When the wall was finished and the enemies became there, they were very disheartened. And you know what I wrote in my notes? It's a glorious thing to dishearten the enemies of God's people, to let them be discouraged for a while. Let them be. God has done the work. God has done the work. But listen to me. The battles were hard. The work was big. There were challenges from within and without. But now the job is finished and the victory is sweet.
We can't believe that you finished.
But we did. This is what's going on here. What was their perception? What was going on in their hearts? Well, they perceived. It wasn't that they said, well, Nehemiah did this, and those little rascal people, they got to get. No, no, no. Here's what they perceived. This is done by their God. This is done by their God. Their enemies were disheartened because, not just because the wall was finished. They weren't bummed about that. You know what they were bummed about? Because it was evident that God did the work. It was evident. It was all around it. Listen to me. When something has the fingerprints of God on it, our enemies take notice. Our enemies take notice. I love the way that this one pastor puts it, and he writes, quote, a strong, secure people of Jerusalem were a witness to surrounding nations, yet many of us live Christian lives that no one takes notice of because our walls are broken down. In Christ.
That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.